everyone, this is Ryan with Product Hunt Radio. I'm in Soma in San Francisco at HeavyBit. I'm here with Jamie, Ryan, and Julie. What's up, guys?
Hi, how's it going?
What's going on?
All right, so I got all your names right this time. I just did a first take, and I was like, wait a minute. What's Julie's name? You know, you two are siblings, Jamie and Julie. So this is the first sibling podcast. And it's also the first podcast with two Ryans.
Ryan party.
Yeah. I know. By the way, I want to go to this Ryan party.
You've never been to one?
No, Ryan Block was telling me about this Ryan party.
We got 40 Ryans in one venue for a party one year.
Well, let's bring that up to 80. We can get more Ryans.
We were trying for Ryan Gosling, but he never showed up. Or Ryan Seacrest, also never made it. But
what happens at the Ryan party?
Lots of cool Ryans hang out. We make Ryans wear a Ryan name tag so they can feel they can feel the plight that we've had to feel our whole lives of being called the wrong name. Generally just lots of raucous fun. It's been good.
I've been wanting to do a Ryan versus Brian party. I don't know what happens exactly. Like maybe we fight.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I know you gotta do for the shirts. You have to do the Ryan Gosling Macaulay Culkin thing.
Is that a thing?
Ryan Gosling wore a shirt of Macaulay Culkin, so Macaulay Culkin made a shirt of the photo of Ryan Gosling wearing the shirt of Macaulay Culkin.
That's awesome.
And Reddit went crazy, obviously.
Of course.
But you gotta have the Ryans and Bryans, and they have to be wearing...
It's a battle.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Okay, we'll set that up.
Yeah.
Alright. So on for those that have listened to the show, we talk about products, and there was actually an announcement recently, a secret announcement, or announcement about Secret, I should say.
It's not a secret.
It's not a secret anymore, yes. And you guys just recently invested in Secret. I think was it $25 million? Was that the total?
Yeah, $25 total.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you announced a couple other product updates, but tell me about them. I can't remember.
Secret Collections, Secret Notes. Really exciting investment. We finally announced on Monday. We're obviously super excited about the product and the team. I think... for me, having come from Twitter before this and seeing kind of the power of like anonymity and pseudonymity, Secret, just from the moment I started using it, really spoke to me in the way that I saw people expressing themselves. And when I see content and ways people are expressing on the platform that they can't or otherwise wouldn't elsewhere, that gets me really excited. Like, we first saw people using Twitter, which is different than anything else they had used before. And and I think we're really excited about where Secret's headed, and especially the team working on it.
Yeah, so I saw the notes feature, and Alexis, I think, wrote the first blog post. I tweeted at David, and one of the other people from Secret replied to me and said that it would be a site where the community and other people on the team can post. But is it actually going to turn in more to an anonymous blogging platform?
I don't think it's about anonymity on that piece of it. Okay. I think it's about highlighting the stories. And so Gaza as a highlight yesterday. And I think you know, when you look at the power of Secret or just anonymity and pseudonymity in general, it's about this kind of expression in some kind of oppressed way, right? Whether it's, you know, you live in the U.S. and you feel like people don't share your point of view, or it's taboo to talk about it, or if you're in Russia, China, or Gaza, and, you know, you're in an area that it's hard to get those communications out, it can be an incredible platform for expression. So I think they're trying to look at those stories and take them out of those markets and make them kind of more widely expressed, you know, and be able to share them out to more people. So.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think it's a beginning, and they're just starting to kind of play with it, but I think that's the initial point of view.
Do you guys share secrets on there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All the time. Yeah. I try to talk Jamie on there, and he has no idea. Yeah.
But I shared one secret that I got super engaged with really early on. It was, like, super, like, banal, like, nothing actually interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to claim credit for the secret, because I think I got, like, 100 hearts or whatever it is. I want people to know that was actually me.
Well, here you are. This is it.
There we go.
Tell us your deepest secrets now.
You can always add in the comments. You can put your Twitter handle and be like, that was me.
Oh, that's true. Exactly.
But then who knows?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that was me
at Ryan Server.
Yeah, I'm going to start claiming for other people that they suddenly was one.
That's true. Yeah. So I have a friend, he may be listening to this podcast right now, that he'll make up fake secrets and put them on there, and he'll be playing all the stereotypical, like, sensational things that especially San Francisco would be attracted to. And he's gotten thousands of hearts on some of his posts. It's a little game for him.
It's funny. I think that's all part of it, right? Some of it's entertainment. Some of it's honest. Some of it's like really meaningful. But I think the point is that this type of platform needs to exist. And this is part of human behavior and the way that we interact and communicate. And if we just deal with real identity and force people to live under a certain type of kind of sharing a certain type of their life, I think we are missing out on a lot of the different threads of humanity. So I'm excited about it, and we'll see where it goes.
I think with one thing that's been interesting to me, actually watching the Product Hunt community sort of develop and evolve over time too, I've actually been really impressed how there's sort of legitimate, like, I mean, criticism and commentary and discussion about products too. It's not just like, oh, this is great, this is amazing. You know, it's not just the sort of promotion or sort of like needless promotion that I think honestly a lot of people sort of criticize Silicon Valley for the echo chamber. Mm-hmm. I think there's actually like sort of legitimate, interesting discussion, but it's been funny to see people willing, like, I wonder sort of the interesting thing about anonymity is sort of it lowers the barrier to actually sort of that discussion. It's been interesting, like,
get to the honest discussion.
Yeah, to get to that honest sort of, like, you know, constructive feedback. I think it's a very positive community. I think it's all about, you know, making products better, but I think it's been interesting to see that legitimate discussion, that legitimate sort of like debate evolving.
The types of conversation evolving as well. See, going back to the secret, how he's making up those notes, like, that's a really interesting use of it when people start making their own stories and using a platform in their own way to really kind of define their voice through the restraints that, or the constraints of that platform. It's always interesting when you get to that point, because that means people are really engaged, they really like it, and there's something there because they can kind of play within it and break the rules, but at the same time be feeding into it.
I want search, or I want some sort of tagging.
You know, I would say Reddit on mobile, right? Having these like sub secrets or subreddits that go deeper into topics. So
that'd be fantastic.
You know, that's, like, I just think it's so early for them, right? This was back when they got their first round. It was two people, right? Two guys who had built and launched this thing.
And was that a $10 million raise in the very beginning, or was that?
I think it was around that,
okay.
Here or there.
Or just two guys. That's incredible.
Yeah. Now the team's a little bigger, but it's still just so early. Like, they they were testing out dens, which were a way to narrowcast a message just into an office or something like that. And there's so I'm excited to see them kind of break it out and start to do stuff. Search would be incredible.
Some of the things that Quora and Medium went through early on is how do you organize?
Yeah.
How are people using it? How, you know, are they talking with it? And then within that actual use, how do you organize so that it's natural within the way they want to use it and yet still open enough to let them play?
Especially in mobile. I think this I talked to a bunch of other companies around the idea of streams, right? And so Twitter has like 5 buttons now. The reality is, unless you're in that mainstream, you have some way to go from that stream to something else. Mm-hmm. People don't go into the other, like, the other buttons very often. They have to be really, really compelling. And so part of the like dichotomy that people deal with is, like, you know, do you break out content into these separate things? And if you do, how do you then interconnect these so that people will go from what the main, you know, stream is back into the other parts of your app? And that's one of the things people are dealing
with. It's kind of relevant to this app that I've been playing with that hasn't been on Product Hunt yet, but probably tomorrow will be. It's called Text. So first off, the name.
No one had taken the word text yet on iOS.
Well, it's going to be a little hard to find.
It's impossible to find first on the App Store. So there's that. But everyone knows what. So for those on the show or those listening that don't know what is, it's an anonymous application, social app. I think it connects to either your contacts or Facebook, one or the other. And when you send a message out, it sends a push notification to all of your friends on the service, and it's anonymous, so you don't know who it is. So Text is what without the anonymity.
Interesting.
Huh.
There's an interesting, so here's what it looks like, which this is terrible radio, but
everyone look.
Yes. Yeah. When you log in, you start connecting, I think, your contacts list, and you have some friends here on it. And on the left hand side, you'll see some people on your contacts list. And I have like 4 or 5 friends right now. It's not very many. And you can tap their name, or you can just leave it blank, and you can now send a message to specific people, one person, or to everyone that's on your contact list. So it's interesting in that now you have this easy, quick way to broadcast a message to all of your friends, and it's not intended to be something maybe that you have to respond to, because it's a push notification, it's somewhat ephemeral, and I think there's more utility in this than there is in what. They're just different products, but very similar in terms of UI and design.
It's funny, I see people kind of remix a lot of the same common themes you talk about. You see these like spreads of single thematic stuff that happens, and I think you got to really think through why you're putting each mechanic in place and like what that does to the behaviors in the app.
Yeah.
And don't just kind of freely add things without thinking it through, because sometimes it actually ruins the experience. So
too many choices can freeze people.
Yeah,
or not enough, not the right ones. It's
But if you wanted to send a broadcast a message, let's say to a bunch of your friends, how would you do it? If you email them, it's going to get lost in their email. It's let's say it's something timely, especially. You could use Facebook, but that's not everyone's on Facebook, and you can't easily broadcast to several people.
And there was
Twitter kind of does that a little bit, but that's to the world.
But it's lower signal because you got to tap into a stream and go see it. And
I remember there's the rise of sort of the Belugas, the GroupMes, the sort of group texting apps too. That all it seems like got acquired by big, sort of acquired by the Facebook, Skypes, in the world too. But I agree, like sort of that use case of having sort of semi-ephemeral groups, or like, you know, groups that maybe you met a couple, like couple buddies, you're going to Vegas or something for the weekend.
Yeah.
It's hard though. I think it's a non-trivial problem too, because I think engagement's difficult if it's sort of group focused and sort of ephemeral. But yeah, I love this rise of the invisible app. You know, honestly, sort of this push notification based type thing too, with interactive notifications, and you know, I would say it's going to be really interesting to see where people go. Yeah.
With messaging, you feel like you have to respond, and if you're in a group situation, you have a lot of the okay, yeah, got it, and you get all of that as well, and people get really frustrated. Like, I know some friends who use WhatsApp a lot out in New York. They're a running crew, and they all communicate on it, and it constantly is going off for all of them. And sometimes people will tune out and then come back in, and it's hundreds of messages. But if you're trying to coordinate a run, and it's like, you know, hey guys, this is what's up tonight.
Yeah.
Just having something like that where it's one notification, nobody has to send back the okays. If you want to continue the conversation, take your pick of platforms that you can do it on.
iOS 8, they announced that you'll be able to like pull out of group messages, and they're actually working on iOS or iMessage as being a more robust platform. And if they really invest in it, they really put time towards it, it could be really fun. Well, it's on every iPhone. Right. Everyone needs to download stuff. And that's where I think a lot of these guys are going to struggle. Trying to beat out iMessage. And if Apple really invests in it, I think it can be really, really meaningful.
Yeah. What's the most compelling, let's say, mobile social messaging app that you've seen more recently? I know that's hugely competitive space. There's a lot out there, but is there anything that's drawn your eye and said that actually has like a chance to survive?
Well, so I think we have to drop Julie's.
Yeah.
Nutmeg's pretty interesting. I like it's a really simple way to a curated set of GIFs, and I'll let you explain it after. I'll try my best. A curated set of GIFs making it really easy to, or GIFs, I guess, making it really easy to text back and forth using sort of iMessage platforms.
Yeah, so I love that Apple's leaning into iMessage because that's right now the main platform we use. Not every GIF is worth sharing, so we're finding ones that are and refreshing and giving you easy access. You can quickly send it to your friends, because kind of to the point of a bunch of messages.
But it uses iMessage as the channel for sending. Oh,
yeah, great. Yeah, it's really quick to get it in there and to find it. That's the whole point, is quick access. Because if you're in the middle of a conversation, you want to move fast. You have a lot of things you're trying to say quickly.
Yeah.
And if there's anything emotional, it's a lot of little thought bubbles you have to send, or just send a GIF that you know your friends will.
The nice part about that is if the receiver only needs iMessage, you instantly have access to the hundreds of millions of devices that have iMessage, just the people that have text or what or whoever.
And it automatically plays, so you don't have any, like, I don't have to tap it to play. It just pops into my little thought bubble and goes.
Yeah,
very cool.
Yeah.
And then also, a lot of these, either GIF or Ultra Text or others, where the whole design is around putting things into iMessage, it's very social, and people, of course, they're like delighted by it, and they're like, whoa, I was not expecting a GIF or some ultra message, ultra text.
It's a nice surprise and delight thing.
Yeah, and then they ask, where'd you get it, or how do you do that?
Exactly, hopefully in a nice viral, like a viral mechanism built in just through that messaging.
And you don't have to try and get them on your platform to then keep getting the messages, because I know that's one of the big things, like with TapTalk, I love it, but some of my friends just, they don't want another thing, and over time, the more I use it and they show them, they'll get on board, but
you can't communicate with them on day one.
So with iMessage, you absolutely can.
Yeah, very cool.
I think sometimes it's useful, at least for me, to think about how do you make the user feel either special or badass or cool, cooler than everyone else. And if you put yourself in that frame of mind, then it changes the way that you're maybe design a product or think about a product.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's so here's a segue then. What app are you using that makes you feel the most badass?
I have a good one for this. This is a hackathon app, actually. It's called Stax. Have you guys used this?
Oh, is it the money one?
It's the money one. It's built on Venmo. Whenever you're trying to pay somebody through Venmo, you just type in their name, you take a photo of their face, and then you literally will push dollar bills over their face. You literally make it rain to pay them on Venmo. I'm waiting for the guys to add like the 10s and the 20s so you can really get some
even the nickels
action
and the
going. It's fun. It's a very simple app right now, but I'm really hoping those guys play with it, because it's everybody I've showed it to loves it. It's a great little fun gimmick.
Do they take a cut of each dollar that's thrown? How do they make money?
They ask for a tip at the end.
Oh, okay.
You gotta throw dollars at them too.
Yeah. But we'll see what they do as they go forward.
That's funny. Yeah. I actually did download it, but then it was too much hassle to authenticate with.
Oh, yeah.
with what's it called, Venmo.
Yeah, I use Venmo all the time, so it's worth it. I definitely, like if you go to dinner, I'll not pay and they'll just, you know, make it rain.
That's pretty fun. Does it make noises?
No, like I don't think so. But that's the other side. Like when I send it, it needs to have a little something. Yeah. I need to be able to share that with my friends. I would love it if it's a video, so I could send them a GIF. Just a quick little thing of me making it rain over the photo of them.
Yeah.
Or have it be a video of your face as I make it rain. I don't know. There's a lot of fun things I can do.
So the sound question actually reminded me of an app that just came out called BarkCam.
No.
You know this? Uh-huh. So you know the BarkBox guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bunch of different apps. Their latest one is BarkCam, and it's like Instagram for dogs, sort of. Isn't that what Instagram's for? Yeah, I guess it is. It's unbundling Instagram.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But what I love about it is
that it's going to be food.
Yeah. Yeah. It has sounds. So when you're taking pictures, hopefully this comes through, you can choose different sounds. One of them is like, of course, the squeaky. You got the ding dong.
Yeah.
There's some dog knocking. One of my favorites, though, is this one, probably. And call me immature, but
the dog in it.
Yeah. Next time I take photos of my friends, like, I'm going to take a picture of you right now, Jamie. It's just like, it's great.
That's really good.
It's just like when you're like, trying to get attention from a baby, same kind of thing.
Yeah.
It works. That's amazing.
I like that, turning what can usually be annoying sound effects into intentional fun ones. Oh, that's really cool.
Yes, I know.
I just never have volume on my phone.
Yeah, it's worth
it's worth turning on a little switch. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, magical apps. This one's probably less exciting in a social sense, but one called Better Health. Play this too. It's like a personal health assistant. And so they have kind of trained people that sit in between you and the whole insurance and doctor's world.
Huh.
You pay, I think it's $50 a month,
which
sounds high relative to most other like services, but when you really think about the medical space, that's super cheap. I've used it a bunch. But anyway, what they do is they help, like, you just message them like you would SMS any other friend, and they help figure out everything. So which of mine or my wife's insurance is better, they'll go through and analyze both of them and say, this one, use this one. If you have, like, your insurance company reject a, you know, a claim, they go take care of all for you and just offhand uploads everything.
That's interesting.
And it's just, like, for me, it makes you feel like, oh, my God, I'm figuring out the space that I just thought was totally, you know, opaque before, totally impossible to try and get through.
Yeah.
These are trained professionals in it, and that part's been great. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, we were just chatting earlier before this recording about just the little things in life, the five-minute phone calls or the letter you get in the mail that you have to, like, mail and send to the post office. And a lot of little things in life that I tend to procrastinate.
Yeah, there's exactly, like, there's apps like Fancy Hands too that make it really nice sort of outsource that stuff. I like the vertical specific approaches to it too.
Yeah.
The Home Joys for cleaning, the Ubers for the taxi, sort of just the Hotel Tonights for the hotel rooms. Just make it simple for me. Make it easy. Let me press a button.
Yeah. Well, in the mobile world, you need that hook to know, like, why are you going to open something. It was interesting to watch TaskRabbit make the switch from, like, we are everything to, like, no, actually, we're just these few things.
Yeah.
And if they
can
start to win those wedges and then grow, I think that's you're seeing more services win with that kind of very verticalized approach and then scale it out later.
Didn't Exec do a similar thing?
Well, Exec,
they
switch from doing everything
cleaning,
to just cleaning.
Cleaning
and
sold.
Do you use any of those services?
We're also investors in HomeJoy, but my wife just used it this week and had, obviously it sounds totally self-serving, but she had an amazing experience with it. The person came, because we had had a person before, we found on Craigslist, and like, she was super nice, but she actually wasn't a great cleaner. And let's try HomeJoy. The person came in and she just cleaned. Like, that was what she did. That's her job. She's trained in it. And she was great. It was like a few buttons to get them there, like, on schedule. It was awesome. So, we use those a little bit.
I did that recently when I was moving out of my apartment, and she came in and just was awesome and made sure everything was done. Stayed a little bit late to just finish up the few things that she hadn't yet done.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Very nice people.
What keeps them, though, from going outside of HomeJoy? Because I know some people that have used HomeJoy and their similar services, and afterwards they give them their personal business card or their email address and, you know, goes around HomeJoy.
think, you know, the same thing is true, like, the early Uber days, right? So a lot of these guys are private drivers. They're also serving their other clients.
Yeah.
I think if the platform provides enough utility back to them, that as long as they stay in the network, they're getting more rides, they're getting more cleanings, they're taking care of their insurance, they're taking care of their payments, like, the platform becomes valuable to them, their switching costs become higher, too. It's like, oh, man, now I got to take care of invoicing or, you know, collecting money or finding my own rides or whatever. In an Uber, you still find guys that still take private drives, but they're private rides, but they still fill the rest of their time with Uber.
Yeah.
And so I think the platforms just have to keep continuing offering more so that the person doesn't want to leave.
Hmm. I think it's that 5 minutes thing you're talking about, like just taking the burden of those little few things. It's not a lot, but in the end, I don't want to deal with that.
Yep.
So if the app or the service can take those little bits and just streamline it, I absolutely would keep using them just to...
Yeah,
you know, in the HomeJoy case, a good example is like the person you might try and go off network and use might be busy the few times you want them, but if you still continue to use HomeJoy, they just will fill in another person who's just equally as good at it, who they've trained and certified and everyone. So I think you just got to keep making sure you build up those pieces of the platform. That's, I think, the interesting part between what you used to see the old networks as, the old marketplaces, where there's just like peer-to-peer, they kind of hand you off to go handle the transaction.
Yeah.
And now things like HomeJoy, BB, you know, there's tons, Uber, are all kind of like taking and owning more of the platform transaction, you know, everything from billing to servicing to whatever. And so the more they own of it, the more they capture the value, but the better experience they make.
And even more efficient it can be as well.
Even the better example too, sort of just going that extra mile, almost a concierge, almost a white glove kind of experience too. But people are sort of repeatedly making those sort of time versus money kind of, kind of calculations.
What's BB?
BB is a used car marketplace.
Okay.
Cutting out the dealer, allowing you to basically sell your car really easily. It just launched, I think, about 2 months ago or something like that. But it's really exciting. So sort of in very much the same way as sort of all these services we're talking about, they basically offer a sort of white glove approach to selling your car. They send a guy out to pick up your, basically to come to your car, they inspect it, they take pictures, they list it for you. They'll basically manage the transaction. You don't have to deal with transferring your title. You don't have to deal with people from Craigslist kicking the tires, metaphorically speaking. And then basically for the seller, or I mean for the buyer, they've got 10-day money back guarantee. They've got warranty services. They've personally sent a trained professional to inspect it. And as a result, you sort of have trust. It's not this sort of lemon problem that you have with Craigslist, where there's sort of asymmetrical information. The seller knows a whole lot more about the car than the buyer does. Instead, they can trust. You can place trust in the BB marketplace to validate the quality of the car.
Yeah. So, speaking of procrastinating, I had a car. I had a Mini Cooper S, and I loved it. It was a super fun car. But in San Francisco, I don't need a car. So
it was too big.
Yeah, it was just too large. Way too big. Gas guzzler.
Yeah.
And so I drove it up north to my parents' place, and I just put it there. My dad was going to sell it for me, but I just didn't put it on Craigslist.
Yeah.
I didn't bother taking pictures and putting it on there and dealing with phone calls.
Yeah.
And it sat there for like 9 months until my uncle decided to buy it. And
I think it makes a ton of sense. You're taking depreciation there, but honestly, the time is your time is worth something. And you have sort of a separate focus. It's hard. I think making all these things easy just facilitates more and more transactions, becomes more efficient as a marketplace. Honestly, things become better with liquidity.
Yeah. What are you playing with in terms of products? Anything new?
I mean, a lot of the same stuff. I really have been diving into, Quip. I love their app. I love the whole ecosystem.
Do you use the mobile app or the website more?
I do both. I tend to find stuff on the app and then pocket it.
Yeah.
And then go that way. Because, a lot of my downtime, I just like going through things and saving it. I don't read things on my phone on Pocket. I'll find them on my phone and then send them to Pocket and read them on my computer later.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tag stuff a lot, so I like having the ability to just quickly do that on my computer.
Do you go back in that archive, or is it more just kind of for your own personal collection?
On Pocket?
Yeah.
I definitely go back. I also have a lot of IFT recipes, so there's certain tags that if I tag it this, it'll then send it into this Google Doc, Excel sheet, that'll then like a group of people have. So if there's interesting articles, sometimes we just share to that, or for some, social media stuff. For Nutmeg, we have a whole thing where we just tag it in Pocket and it just pops everything into this doc. It's really nice.
IFT is such a cool tool. I don't use it. I feel like I don't know how I would use it, but I know there's some nugget in there that would be useful for me.
I use it all the time.
I think you're the exact audience that should be using it.
Probably, yeah.
You got to get a product hunt channel.
I should, yes. Actually, so we have an API.
Yeah, an API, yeah, it should be easy.
Yeah, it's done. We haven't released it yet, but it's pretty much done. So we're going to open it up, and we, in fact, have 140, 150 developers that have signed up, ready to go, submitting ideas of what they want to build with it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So one of them should be an if channel.
Yeah.
For sure.
I would definitely use that. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting. The way that you do that, though, like what it, every time I upvote, it could go to, like, that could be a thing, the different interactions. You have the alerts as well, so if your company gets mentioned on Product Hunt, you get an alert. There's somebody built that.
Yeah, you saw that.
Yeah,
that was super cool.
Then somebody just did one for Reddit as well. But something like that for an if would be an interesting trigger.
Yeah.
If you're looking for certain things on Product Hunt, having it either, you know, ping you through something else on.
Or perhaps if you are, if you're in the mobile messaging space, you want to monitor your competitors or mentions of your name and in the comments and things like that.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
It's almost a new, certainly the modern day equivalent of Google Alerts.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
I like that. Also, if a certain person comments, that's something that I would like to track. If a specific person adds a product or adds a comment or something, so there are some really good contributors that I try and keep an eye out for, but you can sometimes get lost in the eye.
We were just chatting about that today. I mean, there's no direct social connections or following on Product Hunt.
Yeah.
I think there's some smart ways, I hope, that we can add some social layer to it without sacrificing sort of this
simplicity.
Town hall kind of simplicity of the product. And one of them that we would explore is, okay, people that you follow on Twitter, you probably have more interest in what they have to say or what they have posting. So what we'll
just
probably do is
use the graph instead of trying to create your own.
Exactly. At least start with that, and we could probably test some things through email would be the easiest way of MVPing something like that. So that's good feedback.
And also getting little conversations going as well. So if somebody, if there's a lot of interest in a product or something like that, and you're intrigued to get a conversation going outside of just the product being posted in comments there.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to have another little town hall space where you can kind of go and get certain people in there and get them talking about it specifically and be like, look, you guys are you guys are smart people that I really value your opinion. I love what you say. I would love your thoughts on this, or my friend's working on this. What do you guys think? And the ability to kind of say, yes, I want to get in that conversation, or maybe no, that could be an interesting.
It sounds like branch a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you had an awesome idea. So we were just chatting about, before this, about creating, well, some sort of presentation of Product Hunt that's all videos, because a lot of startups and products have demo videos.
Yeah.
And you suggested we just create a YouTube channel, which is a great, like, first step, and also another distribution channel, possibly.
I would love that. A lot of, it's really hard to find these videos sometimes, too, so having them in one unified place would be really, really interesting.
And then we can Tinderize it.
Yeah.
God, that interface is just so perfect for mobile, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how many people have now taken that because it works in so many other mediums, not just dating. And that was, I think, an amazingly smart
suggestion
for them. That was cool.
Yeah. Works really well. Yeah. What Tinder-like products are you using right now? Any come to mind? Like card-based designs?
Seen ones for jobs. I don't know if it's out yet, but there's one for helping kind of match job you're looking for. I don't know if they've announced it, so don't know what I'll say, but they're starting to do that kind of like double blind matching, which I think just works in so many other ways. Professional connections is probably another great one. You know, the highest valued engineers, designers, marketers, whoever are going to be hit up by the largest number of people, and if you create that asymmetry again, like in dating, the people that are most wanted don't want to take all the messages, so they stop using that channel. Whereas if you can create that double blind, I think it you can start to make really good connections. So, so I'm trying to think of other networks for it that I've seen that, we talked about this at one point too, just that mechanic is so cool for mobile. Because if you think about Twitter and all the other stream-oriented UIs, you're scanning by all this content that you're kind of passively consuming.
Yeah.
But Twitter gets no interaction data, no engagement data on each of those pieces of content.
Yep.
Whereas with that like kind of card swiping model, every single card you offer up, you're getting interaction and engagement data on. Yes, no, maybe, or whatever your interactions are. And I think it's a really, from a product standpoint, it's a really cool thing to be thinking about. It's like, now the signal has to be higher for what you serve up. You can't just scroll stuff by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're going to get engagement data on every single piece of content, which is really cool.
There's a cool video app, actually, called Endless TV that basically streams short-form content, I think YouTube videos, something like that. It makes a personalized stream. But it's incredibly easy for you to basically consume the videos, too. And you basically just swipe left, I guess, to basically switch to the next video, too. And it feels it feels pretty intuitive in the sense that like you almost feel like the videos are sort of continuing beyond your phone and you're just pulling the next one in.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets to that same interaction model. Yeah. They can personalize it based on sort of how long you're viewing the video and stuff. Pretty. I mean, it's a compelling interaction on mobile phone.
Yeah.
Are you guys familiar with Timbre? It's a music app.
No.
It's pre-Tinder and all that. It's really beautifully designed. And
there's life before Tinder. You
know? One thing I always liked about it was you just swipe through the different shows. Okay, so this is, you guys can't see this out there. It basically shows all the concerts near you in a pretty list form, and you pick one, and it'll go into a different screen where it has more information on it. It'll actually start playing the music, and you can buy tickets, favorite it, share it, different options like that.
Mm.
But it's done in a very kind of, you have a couple squares and then a background image. If you swipe right and left, it'll change from one concert to the next, so you can kind of go through the list that way.
Mm.
And it'll change the songs in the background as well. But I always really enjoyed that kind of very simple way to go through and, there's the music going.
Red Zeppelin.
Yeah. I like that.
Super minimal and very interesting choice of, like, why. My question is, why are some bigger than others? Is that a sign
of
popularity?
The different fonts,
I'm not quite sure of that, why that is,
or
but it's whenever I'm looking for a concert, this is the one, this is the app I go to. It's just, it's really fun to play with and very pleasant to kind of scroll through and
It reminds me a little bit of Discover. It's a music app that David McKinney, he's actually working on the iOS app with us, and I think it came out a couple years ago, and it's sort of bubbles of artists, and you tap into one, let's say it's DMX, because I have to throw a DMX reference in
here.
And when you tap on him, it'll then show related artists to DMX, and then you can dive into them and read more about them or listen to the music.
Nice.
But it's very, it's similar because it has that black and white color and contrast, and the simplicity and the minimalist.
Yeah.
Kind of similar. But
I like that.
Cool. So this is cool, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah,
how did we start this? Did you tweet at me about one of the podcasts? Is that how we?
I think so. I think I tweeted that I'm listening to the podcast every day in my community.
That was
my new favorite podcast to listen to. So
sweet.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Come on and talk. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was great.
Anything you guys want to mention?
No. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Do you? If someone wants to pitch you, you want more pitches?
Oh, absolutely. All the time. Anytime.
What Twitter's for.
Yeah.
Our server on Twitter. Get high there.
What's your handle, Jamie?
Jamie Davidson.
Nice. And yours?
The Julie Logan.
And where do you find Nutmeg?
Yeah.
Where do you find Nutmeg?
Nutmeg, you just go in the App Store, you type in Nutmeg, and it is the first one to pop up.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So unlike text.
Unlike text. Texting out hard. That's a tough SEO game.
Yes.
Yeah. And for the record, Nutmeg is not a spice. The name is actually from the soccer term.
Yeah.
When you meg somebody, you kick the ball between their legs and you keep control of the ball. So it's
so embarrassing. I've been there.
Yeah. It's fun, playful. Go meg your friends. That's,
Sweet. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ryan.